It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Oh, God. That's a pain in the ass.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I've never been this nervous in my life.
Greetings from Long Time No See the Podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
Yeah, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. You know what to do. If you like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, in fact. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Tyler Posey. We're going to be talking about his upcoming record, Unravel, and what it's like to be an independent artist right now. In fact, he's still continuing to work with John Feldman, which he had been on Feldman's record label for the past few years, but they still have a working relationship, but he wants to try it on his own, so we're going to hear about what that experience has been like from him. He's also going to tell us what bands are inspiring his latest set, as well as writing with Femme. In fact, they wrote a song together, and then they became partners. So it's kind of an interesting little partnership that they actually do have. So he's tell us about that, and of course, composing a track for the new Teen Wolf movie, which he stars in. In fact, Tyler's going to tell us about how he wants to keep that series going, especially now that the movie has broken a few records, and we'll be discussing working on the Scream TV series and getting the stink eye from Jason Bateman at the Teen Choice Awards some years back. And of course, and also, when we might expect a tour. Is that going to come as well? So it's all that and more. We're talking Unravel. It's Kyle Meredith with Tyler Posey.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, thanks for the intro. Oh, God, I have a dog with a squeaky toy. He just started squeaking it.
It'd be part of the interview. Yeah, well, it's a character in its own. Yeah,
it adds a little flavor. Dude, everything's great. Super excited to release this music. It's the first time in a few years that I've released independently. I'm not on a label right now, and so that's very exciting and sort of like an experiment. You know, I had a great run at John Feldman's label Big Noise, and then decided for this next release that I kind of wanted to see what it was like on my own. I've got the fan base. I just wanted to kind of see. I've never done that with a big release before, and I've garnered some more fans over the years, so it was just sort of an experiment, and kind of gives me the freedom to sort of do whatever I want. I had a lot of freedom at that label, but this time there's really nobody sort of giving their input. And the album is 16 tracks, and each song is pretty much a different genre in itself. So it's really exciting that I get to sort of, you know, showcase all of my favorite bands and genres mixed on one album of mine. So it's really cool.
And to do it on your own, I mean, you're a little bit into this. Does it feel different on the business side of things? Like, I'm guessing there's a little bit more of a hands-on, a little bit more legwork that you got to take care of too.
Yeah, and I felt that was something that I wanted to experience. You know, it kind of reminds me of back in the day when I was first starting bands when I was 12 years old. I would create my own flyers. You know, I would like either draw them or go to Kinko's and mass print a bunch of flyers, and then I would go stick them to car windows, pass them out at concerts. So it does feel like there's more groundwork that I am doing on my own, which is nostalgic, but also I feel like it's good for me to kick my ass. I love, you know, working really hard, and I feel like it's easy to sort of get complacent and a little, I don't know if lazy is the right word, but when somebody's doing it for you, you sort of lose that drive to, you know, make it happen yourself. And the first few releases, I found that the first few releases of this album, the first two singles, I still have stuff to learn and more work to put into it. But it also, it creates this sort of new passion of excitement. And I'm really excited to film videos, and it creates this weird dichotomy of realizing, oh shit, there is more work to put into it, but it's also more exciting because it really is just me. And so it's an interesting dynamic. And I'm still sort of trying to figure out my legs while doing this, but it's interesting. I'm glad I'm doing it. It's felt like it was good for me to, I don't know, just learn how to keep working harder and keep working toward a goal of mine.
It's smart too. And it's probably a little bit easier, although you made me a little nostalgic for hanging out at Kinko's. Just with all of that, like, does Kinko's did Kinko's go the way of like Circuit City?
I think it failed way before Circuit City. I haven't heard of a Kinko's since I think 2000, maybe. I'm not
right.
Sure.
I haven't thought about that in a long time either.
Yeah.
Where do we get our wires and cords and copies at these days?
I know.
So you're still working, like, Feldman, though, he was still a part of the album, is that right? Like, there was still some production? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of. So, I've been recording with Feldy for the past close to 4 years, I think. A little over 3 years, close to 4 years or more. I don't know. I don't know the time frame. COVID really messed everything up.
Sure.
That's like this weird black hole that adds 3 years, and I can't remember how long I've been working before. But so Feldy and I, once I left the label, we didn't release all of the songs. I think I released 2 EPs with him. And I think there were only, it was definitely less than 20 songs, but we recorded, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 40, maybe more. So we've got all this unreleased music, and we're still really close. He's still a really great friend of mine. And I asked if what we're going to do with all these songs that are going to be, they're just sitting there, and they're really great songs. And I kind of felt bad for them. I want them to be showcased. And he was like, we can release them if you want. And I was like, that would be great. So we made an agreement, and he said that would love to have these songs out. And so the last song that I just released, Gravity, that's a Feldman song. So there's 5 Feldman songs on this LP, and then 11 songs that I did outside of him with my other friend, producer Matt Malpass. So it's kind of like a mishmash of, you know, Feldman and Matt as producers. But these songs that I did with Feldman, some of them are like a little over 3 years old. So this, you can say that this album has been in the works for the past like 3 to 4 years, which is really cool to say. You know, it's, you know, when you're sitting on something for so long, and then you get to kind of see how I've changed as an artist, and it still kind of fits in line with the stuff that I'm writing now. And so it's just I don't know. I always found that really cool when an artist that I idolize, they have been working on something for years. I'm like, oh wow, this is, it better be good. You know, it's there's a little bit of the added pressure to it, but it's really exciting. I'm glad I'm finally releasing this music.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OSEAMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Tyler Posey. So you might not think of, and maybe you do, but you might not think of your songs in such a linear way, but like what I, you know, what did you want this one to say, I guess, especially following up Drugs? And I'll even take the full step back and say, when you just look at the titles, even, you know, you got Drugs and then you have Unravel. I mean, it feels like there's sort of a chapter one, chapter two thing that's possible here. Is that the case?
No, there's definitely a possibility for that. I think sort of anything I write and put out, you know, as an artist, you do try to have it be a cool story surrounding it. And Drugs was special because I had just gotten sober off of drugs during that time, you know, and so that was that sort of landmark for me in my life and in my career. And I felt like it needed to be put down in paper and memorialized in a little EP. And so that's where that came from. Unravel. So this album's really interesting because I went into the studio with no plan of action. I had a bunch of songs that I demoed here at my house, songs from Feldy, and then I wrote a bunch of songs with Matt Malpass. And I didn't really have a game plan going into it. I didn't want it to be a certain genre. I just started writing. And with the freedom of being an independent artist now, not on a label, I felt like I could have that freedom. And also being an actor, there's an added freedom of, you know, I don't have all my eggs in the basket of music, which means I feel like there's a little bit of freedom with me being able to change sort of genres from song to song. I feel like a lot of artists don't get to have that privilege because their fans know them so well on a certain genre that if they divert a little bit, it would be jarring and shocking. And so this whole album is just, I think the basis for it, the foundation is just experimental. I put a lot of thought into each song, but I didn't put a lot of thought into the conceptualization of the album. It just kind of, it was all instinct. It just came out of me. It happened. It unraveled out of me, basically. So that's, I wrote this one song called Unravel. It's the last track of the album. And I feel like it has this really beautiful, it's got this really beautiful build and then this crazy crescendo to this huge climax of a song. And it's really epic. And I feel like it's a really great way to wrap out the album. And it just, the song itself is such a heavy sort of epic adventure of a song, very cinematic, that I wanted to call the album after it. And it just felt like Unravel was the right title. But this album is sort of, each song is, it doesn't really reflect a time in my life. Like Drugs was all about becoming sober. This one is just sort of all over the place. But I do think that the songs are cohesive with each other. I put them in a order that I feel like is best listened to from top to end. Just because it sort of has this sort of digression of really heavy music to this sort of chiller vibe, epic music, sonically. And so, yeah, there wasn't really a game plan when I went into this album. It just sort of, it unraveled out of me. It just happened. And I felt like that was in itself really special. It does what you said, it being a part two does work for the stuff that I've put out in the past. So it is cool to think of it that way.
Yeah. So when you're talking about, you know, every song being sort of a different genre or different genres being represented, like, I'd be curious, like, how many different genres are we talking about? But also, how does that change for you in the way you approach them writing? Like, is it even to the extreme? You're like, oh, I would really love to write this type of song now. What does that mean for how you begin that song?
Sure. Yeah, no, of course. Like I said, it just kind of, I didn't go into the songwriting process with a plan. It wasn't like before I wrote this song, I want it to sound like this. So backtracking there. So all of the, I think the sounds sort of revolve in the alternative space. There's no jazz, there's no blues on the album. But
it would have been entertaining though. I would like to hear the Tyler Posey jazz EP.
I would love that too. I've written some stuff before, so it's not unlikely that I'll have, you know, some jazz in what my next album or whatever. I do want to experiment and just kind of put everything I love. Again, I feel like I have that luxury because I, you know, it's not, music isn't my end all. But I go from, I'll do it in bands. So we have Comeback Kid and anything really hardcore inspiration in there. We've got Alkaline Trio, we've got Blink-182, we've got Sugar Ray, we've got 311, we've got some sort of reggae style, which I guess fits under the 311 umbrella. A little bit of Crazy Town or Shifty. There's some inspiration in there. So it sort of fits under this just like kind of alternative umbrella. But there's a lot of styles that I hit and a lot of bands that inspired me. And when I went to write, it was just, here's what I wanted to write at this time. I have this really beautiful sort of orchestra acoustic song that I did go into it thinking, here's what I want to write. We were rented an Airbnb in Big Bear and we were on the lake. And there was one day I was like, I need an acoustic song on this album. Like, that just feels like the only thing that's sort of missing. And so that's the only song I went into it thinking, like, here's what I want to write. Here's the next sonically sound that I want to write. And it ended up being this acoustic song. And it's really beautiful. It's the second to last song on the album. And it just throws you for another loop when you're listening to this album. That's just this sort of mishmash of just a bunch of different styles and sounds and it's really, really, really cool, special, and exciting.
I actually love hearing that even more, that there's sort of, it's more artist inspired in that way. You know, you were talking about, you know, your favorite artists and when they've worked on something for a long time and what that means to you. I find that it's even more meaningful to me that when I talk to an artist and they're like, oh yeah, I was totally, this song is inspired by this. I was talking with Alex from All Time Low yesterday. He was okay. Like, I was listening to nothing but Sgt. Pepper and Elton John. And the first two songs, you can absolutely tell that. And it made me love those songs like even more.
How cool. So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like if you know the artist's inspiration and hear their take on it, it is this sort of, because that's what art is. Art is always going to be inspired from somebody that, you know, inspired you as an artist. And I find that so cool. And then with your added flavor in it, it really makes it it's special. Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Tyler Posey. So we got Gravity as the latest single and hitting on that one, which, you know, space, and I'm talking about the universe and space, seems like that's such a fun tool to use in writing, because that's the loneliest place to escape to.
Exactly.
If you needed to be. What was the context for you in this one?
Yeah, so this was a song that I demoed years before I took it to Feldman. My friend and I even tried to record it at one point, and it just never worked. But I always had that initial first verse, blasting off to space. No one can stop me. I'm taking off from here alone. So yeah, it is. And the way you put it is really, really, really nice. Like, it is the loneliest place. And that's where this character in this song, me, wants to go at this point in his life. I think at this point I was sort of, I don't know, there's a lot of confusion here on this planet. And I really try to, whenever I do anything in my life, I really try to lead with a sort of empathetic spiritual foot. I always am just looking for the best in myself and people in the world, and always just want to advance and sort of evolve as a person. I want to evolve as a species. I want to help the world evolve in whatever way. And that's whether I'm being honest online with my music, interacting with fans in a really meaningful, special way. I'm still figuring out ways that I can do this, but that's sort of where that song derived from. I was sitting back and realizing that, like, there's a lot of bad here, and I want to do something where I can make an impact on this place in a great way. But then at some points, having that sort of passion to make an impact is sort of discouraging, because it's, you don't really see it happening. And so you just kind of want to get away from here. And then when I brought that concept to Feldman, we sort of added the element of meeting somebody where you can share your interests with and find a partner in somebody. And so that ultimately is what the song became about. It's you know, being in a place where you're sort of really low and not really agreeing, can't find anybody to agree with. You don't particularly like the planet you're living on. And you just kind of want to bounce and get away and not do anything drastic. It's not about, you know, ending it all. It's just about trying to, you know, let me try another place on for size. And then you meet somebody who you realize, you know, it's maybe this, they can make Earth a little bit easier to swallow. And so that's kind of where that element came from. And then I ended up, it's a funny story. This is the first song that I wrote with Femme, the artist Femme, who is now my partner. So that's it. I don't know if that was like, this was the song that laid out that foundation for us. We both kind of realized like life is better with a partner you can rely on and feel supported by. It just turned out to be that we ended up together.
That's awesome. And yeah. It's also, you know, most couples have a song, but your song is your song.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, we realize that we don't really have a song per se, which is funny, but we write a lot of music with each other. So that can kind of be our song.
Just to have that ground zero, like not many people have that, you know, and I mean, writing, I've talked to my wife about this, you know, writing musically, especially, is so intimate in if you let it be, in a way, regardless of who you're writing with. And then to bring in any kind of romantic part of it, like this sort of, like I'm imagining an atom is what I'm doing and it just writes.
It could be super unstable, you know, but if you have all the right pieces and all the right support and love and willingness and it's we're killing it. We really make it work, and I'm really, really excited to have this to have her as my partner, and you know, I think she could say the same. I think
I'm sure. I love hearing that. I do. I really do. And then I'll bring up Lemon as well, because that's a single that preceded this. I heard the song before I saw the new Teen Wolf movie, and I wasn't aware at that moment that it was in there. And I thought, man, this music is really powerful. And it's got this gothic feel to it that, you know, I was really, I mean, it was speaking to everything that I love at that moment. I mean, of course, you see Graveyard in there and that helps with the gothic thing. But it wasn't until like moments or a day or whatever afterwards that I realized that you had sort of written this with that in mind for the movie.
Yeah.
I love it. Just throwing out the compliment right there. That's a powerful song.
Thank you. Hell yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, this was this one came about really cool. The Teen Wolf movie is something that I've been wanting to do for years, and finally we got the opportunity. And as soon as they came to me and asked, how do you feel about it? I was like, absolutely, let's do it. Put a song of mine in the movie and we're good. And that's what happened. And then I didn't know what capacity the song was going to be in the film. And they, you know, the end credit song, I think, is one of the most important special songs of a movie. And they gave that to me. I didn't even ask for that part. And so I was like, all right, this song has to be epic. It's got to be cinematic. It's got to keep the ride going. You know, you just went on this pretty much 2.5 hour long ride. If you're a big fan of Teen Wolf, with characters that you've loved for years and you've been wanting to see for years back on the screen. So I was like, how do I, you know, just keep this feel, this marching kind of driving feel of this other, I wanted to encapsulate the entire 2 hours and 30 minutes in 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you know, and keep that feel going and really kind of just capture this cinematic feel. And yeah, I feel like we did a really, really, really great job. I wrote it right here in this chair with Femme. She has, she's just such a talented artist and singer and writer and has a great feel for tone and for music and where to piece it, where to put a certain genre or sound. And so we both kind of decided like it needs this rock and bass as this intro. And I came up with that bass line, and then everything else just sort of built itself around it. It just was easy. Like I hopped on the microphone and came out with that sort of monotone melody that I put like this bullhorn effect on, and it just felt right. And then had her vocals in the background, and then I had that scream, and everything just kept building after one another. I didn't really have an idea where it was going to go. The way that I write normally, I'll write the first part of the song and then I'll hear that first part over and over until the next part just kind of spills out of it. Like I don't have a game plan for each section of the song. Each section writes itself after the previous section. And so that's how this song came about. And I was just super happy with how it came out. I don't know. It just really felt super cinematic and fun and sort of nostalgic. And it doesn't really feel like anything that has been released by anyone in a long time. And it was a mix of a lot of different genres and sort of an 80s, 90s bass in the beginning, mixed with these really cool sort of Smith-like or The Cure guitars. And then having the scream element in there just felt like this Marilyn Manson rock gothic kind of what you said. It's sort of all over the place. And then the chorus is this, I don't know, it's just got this beautiful punk, pop punk, post-hardcore feel to it. And yeah, I'm super happy with the entire thing. And that was a lot of fun to pull off. I'm really happy we got to do that.
Well, I'll say that the alt goth sound, if we want to call it that, fits you really well. And I'll selfishly just hope for more, a little bit more of that.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah. I appreciate it. There are definitely a few on the album that fit that sort of vibe. And I'm really, really, really excited to showcase it.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian. And we are giving away 2 tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Tyler Posey. And then, you know, maybe you'll get more chances, who knows, with Teen Wolf. And I'm only quoting you. First, congratulations on the records that you broke, and then to see you say, let's keep the story going. Like,
Yeah.
Does the story keep, like, do you want to keep that story going?
Oh yeah. That's something I've wanted to do since day one. It's hard to walk away from this gig. I love this job. I love the writers. I love the people behind it. I love the storyline. I love my character. It's something that I really want to keep going. And I think what was cool is that it was nice to have this 5-year break so the fans could, you know, miss it. And then also, it's just interesting to see these characters older. It's this weird jump in time that we do that makes everything more exciting, and you eat it up a lot more as a fan. So yeah, I want more. I would love more Teen Wolf. You know, I think most everyone else does who's on the show, who watched it, a fan. You know, I think everybody kind of, we're all in the same boat. So it would be remarkable and incredible. And yeah, I think we would try to put more music in it. You know, maybe get 2 songs this time with the ending credits and the beginning credits.
Yeah, shows like that and movies. Now we have a joke around here. I'll be watching them, and I said, you think these characters just ever have just a boring day? Like, just sat around in my sweatpants watching TV. Nothing happened. Nothing happened at all.
That's what I want to see, you know, because you're right. These characters are kind of like risking their lives every time we see them. And I do want to see more of a mundane atmosphere that they could be in, you know, eating a bowl of cereal.
It'd be hilarious, by the way. It'd be like, you'd almost be like punking your audience and everything. You just put out a standalone episode. Maybe it's in a season where 30 minutes, nothing happens.
It'd be great. It'd be like Seinfeld mixed with Teen Wolf.
You swell the music like something's going to happen, but yeah, no, just tie in my shoe. You know,
exactly. A lot of fake outs. Yeah,
smart. Not the only legacy, you know, that you've been a part of, you know, with the Scream series as well. To be part of what's, I guess you'd call legacy projects now. Like, you dropped in on Scream, you know, of course you were there from the beginning with Teen Wolf, but these are, pardon the pun, I mean, these are very different animals, than just a regular movie. I mean, does it change the way you approach it because when it's history like that?
I think there's an element of just more excitement, you know, like, cause my character in Scream got to wear the Ghostface costume, and there's that. I grew up with that. I even bought that costume for Halloween when I was like, I don't know, from age 7 to like 12. And I remember it had blood squirting out of it, and I would squeeze this heart and the blood, the Ghostface would bleed. So it was something when it's things like that, you get really giddy. It adds this sort of giddy. There's maybe a little bit of pressure there. I know other actors kind of will feel some pressure with big shoes to fill. I don't really put that sort of pressure on me. There's always a little bit because it's, you know, they are big shoes to fill, but I like what I do. I feel like I'm a fan of the work that I do. And so I'm never too scared to kind of fill those shoes. I'm excited to kind of show people my take on it. But it is just, for me, it's just really exciting. You know, Teen Wolf itself was a legacy before the show even started with Michael J. Fox. Mm-hmm. So that was another thing that was, you know, exciting. But, you know, in the end, acting is art, and it's your take on something that inspired what you're doing now. And so it's, you know, I think that the pressure never really was there for me because we are, you know, doing a sort of our own version of it. And you hope that the fans like it. There's always that worry, you know, when Teen Wolf first came out, we had all the diehard Michael J. Fox Teen Wolf fans hating on Teen Wolf. Because, you know, they're like, how could you recreate this gold, this masterpiece? And, you know, it is a great movie. So it was a little scary, but, people came around pretty quickly and realized we were doing our own thing. And it's so fun being a part of those legacies. I want that. I want to keep it going. It's fun. It's, I don't know how else to put it, man. It's kind of like you're going to go see your favorite band play and they pull you up on stage to play a guitar riff that you've been practicing for years. So it's similar in that vein. You know, it's kind of like an honor, definitely, to do that. You know, I was also in Scary Movie 5, and Scary Movies were my favorite movies growing up. And so it was, that was also another thing I was really excited about. It's cool. It's really cool.
You know, we always look back to Michael J. Fox, and poor Jason Bateman always gets looked over in that, that section.
I know. So. I have this really funny story actually that I've been like waiting to tell. I want to tell it on Jason's podcast, Heartless, but I don't know if I'll ever get a gig on there. I don't think I'm at that level, but I met Jason Bateman at Teen Choice Awards. I was 19 years old, so it was probably 2010, something like that, 2011. And I met him and I was like, hey, dude, you're Teen Wolf. I'm Teen Wolf. I'm the new Teen Wolf. And he was like, get out of here, man. That's so cool. And we shot the shit a little bit about the makeup process and all of that. And then we went our separate ways. And he was like, okay, I got to go. It's nice to meet you, man. And it was really a sweet conversation. He was a great guy. And then I get sat at my seat, which is kind of near the stage. And the reason he was there, he was maybe for Horrible Bosses, I can't remember, but he was there as a presenter. And he gets on stage and I'm pretty damn close to him and I'm looking up at him and I'm like all giddy about our interaction that just happened. And I go, Teen Wolf 2! I yelled it out like when the audience was just silent, you could hear a pin drop. And he gave me this look like he wanted to rip my throat out with his Teen Wolf teeth. And it was like the best moment of my life. Horrible, because I was genuinely excited and I felt like he did not like that, because obviously that wasn't the best movie for him. But I thought it was an incredible moment. You know, I was such an idiot kid, stupid kid, you know.
Oh, but I'm so glad you did that.
I like, know.
You'd regretted it otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. It was perfect. I'm very happy.
Somebody out there thinks Teen Wolf 2 is a masterpiece. That's their favorite movie.
I think so.
I don't know who that person is, but they exist somewhere.
Yeah,
so.
I'll meet them.
Well, bringing it back, Unravel. I'm looking forward to the whole album tour as well. Going to spend a bit of this year?
At some point. Yeah. I don't know about the end of this year. So it's tricky sort of managing acting career with music career, because music career, when you book a tour, you book it in months and months and months in advance. Acting happens a little bit quicker. So say I book a tour and then there comes this acting gig that I really want that would get in the way of the tour. You just have to be really strategic about it. So for now, I'm going to release the album, let the album speak for itself, get a lot of attention from that, and let that garner some love. Focus on acting for sort of maybe the rest of this year. But as soon as, you know, I'm ready, we're gonna do a huge tour. And whether that's in Europe, whether that's here in the States, I'm no stranger to both. So yeah, that's definitely happening. And I have countless fans asking for tour and when I'm going to tour. And so I feel like it'll be a great turnout when it does happen. So yeah, definitely eventually, soonish.
Easy enough. Fair enough. Man, Tyler, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you taking the time. Congrats on everything you got going on again with the record breaking on Teen Wolf, the movie. And of course, we'll all be looking forward to Unravel.
Yeah, Kyle, thank you so much, dude. I really had a great time. I really appreciate it, man.
And my thanks to Tyler Posey, the new album, Unravel. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. Again, I put out new interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. All three of them, the address is at Kyle Meredith. So do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Again, dude, I'm really sorry about last week. I felt so bad about that.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.